Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I am John Ash.
With us today is Michael Richardson. Michael is a software developer, conference speaker, developer community organizer, and outdoor enthusiast. As a technical lead at Kroger Digital, Michael helps create compelling web experiences for millions of Kroger customers. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Glad to be on the podcast.
Yeah. So before we get started into sort of the more meat of the podcast, could we at least get to give a little bit of introduction to yourself? Maybe talk about just sort of how you became a developer and got started in this industry.
As with many other developers, I had a non-traditional start into the industry. I actually, even with college, didn't work for me the first time, and so ended up going back and getting a math degree statistics focus. So that led me into statistics programming, and then got fired from my statistics programming job, which was the best thing that ever happened to me. And my brother, who was a developer and has been for many years, I said, "Hey, maybe you'd be interested in doing some software development." He had a coworker who needed an app built. And so I just dove straight in. There was a, building that app, and it took me about 3 months. It was an incredible learning experience. I learned front end, back end, SQL, you name it. And it was really great.
Okay. So how's that transitioned? What are you working on these days?
These days, I'm working at Kroger on the SEO team, and my job there is to ensure that all of our pages are being properly indexed and ranked by the search engines, most obvious of which is Google. So we deal a lot with that on a daily basis.
And we caught your presentation at Codepalooza in Louisville, Kentucky earlier this year, where you were speaking about OKRs. Do you want to introduce the topic of OKRs to the listeners?
Absolutely. So OKRs is an acronym for Objectives and Key Results. The idea is that objectives and key results are a goal setting framework that are designed to create focus on what your goals really are and how you plan to achieve those goals. Objectives are generally the high-level ideals of what you want to accomplish, and then the key results are the measurable items underneath those to determine whether you've achieved those objectives.
Okay. So, who sets those sort of things?
So, it totally depends on... So, I've done personal OKRs, I've done team OKRs, I've even done... We do OKRs at a group level corporately. And so typically what happens, those will be set at the highest level of control, typically the group or the corporation, or if it's just you, then it'd be yourself. But then it will kind of, each group under that will set their OKRs to align to the group above them.
Okay, so it's sort of like you can use it sort of wherever you're at, mm-hmm. but then it sort of has the ability to sort of nest where it
exactly.
can be every level below that.
Right. So you align them up to whatever necessary objectives above you.
Okay, so then why? I mean, what's the purpose for having these OKRs? Why would someone want to set these and sort of go through this formality?
Sure. Well, so we all have limited time and resources. And if you simply say, hey, we want to be great, we want to do cool things, that doesn't tend to result in getting the results that you need for the things that you really want to accomplish. So the idea with OKRs is to really boil down those things so that we can actually deal with the opportunity cost that we have, that we all encounter. Because once you have set those objectives and key results in place, you understand what you're reaching for. You're not, it helps to prevent you from frittering your efforts away in, you know, lots of different areas that aren't actually getting you to the goal that you care most about.
Yeah. So why would you go with OKRs versus something like a KPIs or?
So I don't have any experience with KPIs, to be honest, but from my research, what I can say is that KPIs are typically going to be associated with incentives, bonuses, and your actual compensation. OKRs are typically dissociated from that. And the reason that you would do that is because what that allows you to do is be aggressive, to be aspirational, and to strive for something that you don't entirely expect to reach 100% of the time. So they, in everything I've read about OKRs and in our experience, desire is not that you get 100% completion on your OKRs for the quarter. The desire is that you set aggressive OKRs that you're going to have to work hard to complete, and you may get 100% on some of them. You may get 50% on others, and the goal is to still achieve to achieve as many as you can.
So from your experience, the relationship between OKRs and KPIs is a this over that. So you wouldn't do both at the same time?
From my understanding of KPIs is they are going to be similar to the key results, though, again, I don't have experience with them. They're primarily key performance indicators, the measurements that are important to the company. Is that correct?
So there's the same type of measurement, I guess, as the, but they're like OKRs or the key results would be specifically related to measuring that objective, whereas a KPI might be more specific to something that the company just says, hey, this is an index that's important to us, so we care about that.
Absolutely, yes.
I guess if the outcome is just as likely to be a failure, or you're just as likely to be successful in that stretch goal versus not successful, I guess it's important to have buy-in from different levels of management or the company, or
absolutely. So when with my experience, our group we essentially got buy-in from leadership. Almost as a trial to see, hey, how does this work for this group? And then we were able to do it from the top down that way. I imagine if you could probably do this starting at a lower level. That doesn't mean you'd have to, because as long as you're still achieving the goals that the superiors desire, then that you're still doing that. But I think OKRs primarily shine when they are kind of implemented company-wide.
Okay, so let's kind of talk about that process that you guys went through in implementing OKRs. What was that like for you?
So one of the things, so that was really interesting. One of the things that I really enjoyed about OKRs is that we focused heavily on the outcomes, the business outcomes that we were looking to achieve. And what I've commonly had as an experience as a developer and as a tech lead is that typically the business will give you a list of features that they desire, and then the team is simply tasked to implement those features. Whereas with the way we did OKRs, we were given outcomes that the business desired, and then the team was given the latitude, empowered in a way, to determine how they were going to achieve those outcomes. So it really gave the team a chance to own the product to and drive it forward in the way that they knew best. So in that scenario, the product manager becomes terribly crucial in the success of the product.
Okay, so how well did that work? How well did the team respond?
So having talked with some of my team members recently, we really enjoyed the process. One of the things that we implemented was a discovery process to accomplish that, which was really cool. We were able to drive that from within the team, determining what features are going to be best for our users. And that was really empowering to the entire team, where it wasn't simply top down, hey, this is what we're going to build. We were able to, within the team, have control over the trajectory of our product.
And I assume, since you gave a talk about it, that you really enjoyed that process, right? Like,
very much
gave you some kind of ownership of the success of that project or just that team altogether.
It did. So we went through the discovery process, and a big part of that was understanding how the user was using our product and creating a better experience for that user. I really enjoyed learning more about that. And because oftentimes as a developer, you're simply divorced from a lot of that context. And I thought that was terribly vital.
And you're also pretty interested in and excited about developer community and team building. Do you want to discuss that a little bit more?
In the past couple of years, I've gotten extremely involved in the Cincinnati developer community. So I helped organize a conference called Momentum. I organized a meetup called the Cincinnati Software Craftsmanship Meetup. And I also helped organize the Hack Cincy Hackathon.
What was the Momentum conference?
So Momentum is a general purpose developer conference that we've put on the past 2 years, typically in the spring. The next year it's going to be in October, and just create a great developer learning experience for Cincinnati developers and developers around the region.
What was the catalyst for getting that conference off the ground?
It was not long after I started working at Kroger. I was very enthusiastic with my coworkers about conferences and how much impact they had had on me as a developer, and was encouraging Kroger to sponsor conferences and things like that. One of my managers said, "Oh, hey, this manager at Kroger is actually starting a conference. Maybe you should talk to him as well." So immediately went and talked to him, and he said, "Yeah, I'm just trying to get it off the ground." Dominic was his name, and many thanks to him for making this happen. And so I got involved right away and was one of the primary organizers that first year. And since then, I've been largely running the developer side of things. We partner with another organization in the Cincinnati area called The Circuit to run the logistics part of it.
Is it primarily a developer conference then, or are there different tracks, business tracks, or technology tracks, or any specific language?
Yeah, so it is developer focused. I think it's valuable, especially in our first years, to have a really strong focus. And I also felt that was a real need in Cincinnati. It was a gap that wasn't being filled up to this point. There are other conferences in the region, but we didn't have a completely developer-focused conference in Cincinnati. So I really wanted to make really happy to see that role, that gap was filled. We do have typically 5 tracks. I think this year we had 7 sessions, and they're covering a variety of technologies and things. One of the things I do try to do is have a strong focus on soft skills, because I think that is a tremendously important part of the developer experience developer skill set that can oftentimes go overlooked.
That's really cool. So what time of year do you usually have the Momentum conference?
So this past year we had it in March. The year before was April. But the most popular conference in the region is SearchTrek is also held in the spring. And so we've decided for next year to move it to fall to try to get a little more separation there.
Do you find that helping organize a conference like this and working with organizing hackathons and things like that translate into bringing those skills back into business and corporate life and working amongst teams and helping build and grow teams with those types of skills? Or how well do those outside skills translate internally and into organizations?
I think there's a variety of impacts. For one thing, it teaches, when you are putting on an event, there is a lot of things that have to be done as of a very specific date. And if they don't get done, they're not getting done. It's just, there is a very clear deadline. You've booked the venue, you've sold the tickets. It's going to happen whether you're ready or not. And so you want to make sure that you're ready and planned ahead. One of the things that I found tremendously valuable out of that is building a team and just finding a support structure for that. So if I may segue into talking about the meetup a little bit, that is also a event that I somewhat inherited. And I was running it largely by myself for a couple months. And then I found a couple of great coworkers to come alongside and help me to run that. And that has been so valuable to the success of our meetup because we are able to really bounce off of each other, keep each other accountable. I'm sure you all have found that similarly in this podcast, that if one of you was trying to organize it yourself, you know, you might lose interest, you might forget to do something, but if all three of you are there together to kind of put it together, you have that support structure in place. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. The three of us used to work together in Louisville, Kentucky, and also attended the Louisville .NET meetup in the area there. I moved down to Tampa, Clayton moved down to Tampa shortly thereafter. And there wasn't an active .NET user group in the area. There were some that hadn't met for 6 months or so, and we tried reaching out to those organizations and seeing if we could revive them or get them interested in scheduling another meeting. And it just wasn't happening. So we actually started up our own .NET meetup simply because we wanted that same experience that we had back in Louisville. And so we largely took that same model and started a monthly meeting and have been running that for more than 3 years now with pretty good success.
Great. That is awesome. Playing off of that as well, one of the things that I've learned from that experience of running that meetup is just to bring other people alongside that. I think that has a huge effect on reducing burnout and just creating a better product. So with the, particularly with the conference, one of the things that I've found is useful is simply to ask people if you think, that might be interested. So it's one thing to put it out there. Hey, I'm looking for volunteers who would be interested in helping. And I find that you don't typically get a lot of response when you say things like that. But if you go to somebody and you say, hey, I need some help with this thing, would you be willing to do that? There's a couple things that happen there. They have a very clear decision to make. They can say, hey, no, that's not going to work for me, or yes, it is. And one of the things that oftentimes influences them to say yes is that just by asking them, you have given them, you've shown them that you believe they have the ability to do that thing. And that is incredibly empowering to someone because so oftentimes we go through life thinking, I'm not there yet. Maybe next month, maybe next year, I'll be ready to do this thing. But if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you're ready, come alongside me and do this, that is a substantially different experience.
Yeah, we spend an extra amount of time after our meetups and have kind of social gatherings and social outings to local restaurants. And just in conversing with the people that attend, we kind of get to know what their interests are, what technologies are out there that are interesting to folks and topics that they would like to hear. And very often I just speak to them and say, hey, you've shown interest in this technology, this thing, this library, this whatever. We really would like to have that as a topic. Would you be willing to speak on that? And it, you know, even and maybe even going so far as to say, can you speak this month or next month? And then it's the only option is whether or not they want to speak this month or not, or next month, not can they speak yes or no.
At some point in the future, yes. Yeah, when you make it very concrete like that, it's can be very compelling.
It also gives people something solid that they can commit to, as opposed to something indefinite where it's undefined and they don't really know how much they're biting off. When you can, if you can give them that specific thing, hey, I need help with this right here. This is the boundaries with which I'm expecting something out of you. A lot of we've talked about is like building teams around sort of the things we're trying to accomplish and whatnot. But when we try to take that, some of the stuff back to our work, you know, we're probably working on teams that are sort of assigned to us, if you will, like, right. How do we sort of bring those sort of pieces back to the team to get them motivated where we can say, and what's the sort of environment? I think we talked about it a little bit with when we were talking about some of the OKRs, you were saying your team really enjoyed because it sort of gave them sort of a control and the ownership over those things. What are those sort of things that we can do to create the environment that allow our assigned teams, if you will, to organize and sort of come together in a big way?
Yeah. So like you were saying, I think it's incredibly important for people to be inspired, to have a mission that they're working towards, a clear goal. That's one place that OKRs comes into place. So for instance, for momentum for next year, we have set up, we've got a venue decided, and we have a very clear goal of selling out our conference, and because that venue it caps out at a certain size, so that gives us something to reach for. So you're saying on teams specifically that are assigned. So I think it is great to create that inspiration and to measure what the potential upside is. To say, hey, if we are able to accomplish this thing, we have the opportunity to do this much for the business, to really make this size of impact. Another thing that I found just important, and this is fairly normal, but it being involved in the developer community helps you to see this more and more, which is to see things from others' perspectives and really to get in their head and think, why are they acting this way? What are their motivations in doing this thing? Because so many conflicts and frustrations are a result of simple misunderstandings of driving towards different goals, of not understanding things that are important to different people.
So taking it back a little bit, earlier you had mentioned burnout, and in the correspondence while we were discussing you coming on, you mentioned that you're putting together a talk kind of around that theme. You want to go over what you think the topic of the talk, or how the talk is being put together, and kind of your thoughts on burnout and how to either avoid it or recover from it?
A lot of that is some things that I've already mentioned about how to you know, specifically, I see people in the open source or developer community space who are they burn hard and then they burn out. And for me, one of the most valuable, I see the things that I want to get involved in and see that I'm always wanting to kind of do more in developer community specifically. OSS, open source hasn't been so tempting to me as of yet, but the opportunities for I've found in developer community have just been enormous and always wanting to do more. So by bringing more people alongside and building that team up and specifically calling people out and asking them to do certain aspects of it, instead of believing that I can do it all myself, I am leveraging that to expand my capabilities and also taking advantage of their unique capabilities as well. Because if I, so many of the people that I've brought in to help with these things, these community events have, and to be clear, a lot of these I'm not the primary leader. It's a community effort, but ideas that I never would have had, things that I never would have done that have turned out great. So by expanding that network, one thing in particular with meetups, always the biggest thing with meetups is always trying to find speakers, right? And as meetup organizers, I'm sure that's a constant challenge, right? So by doing that and bringing people alongside who to help organize, you've now essentially tripled your network of people who may be interested in doing that.
So one of the things we ask all of the guests that come on is to speak to the listeners that are just getting started, who maybe they're trying to level up in their career or they're just absolutely new to it. What kind of words of wisdom or specific sort of thoughts would you kind of give, nuggets would you give them?
Sure. So for people looking to advance in their career, for me, developer community has always been a huge thing because of my connections in developer community. I've become aware of so many other opportunities and things that I'm able to also have an understanding for where the developer community is headed and try to, and where, development, what new things are coming along and try to stay ahead of that. Also, my experience from just more technical stuff is always go a layer deeper. So when you're trying to learn something or you run into a roadblock and, you think you've got it, but you're not quite there, just go a layer deeper, push into something that scares you right now. And maybe you don't really dive into that right away, but you've at least exposed yourself to it so that you are aware of it. And next time that you try to learn more about that, it's not so scary. So things like when I was getting started with Git, and Git can be very, very intimidating to someone who's never used it before. But a lot of times people will learn the very few commands that they need to know, and then they'll just stick with that forever. Well, and then I discovered that if, when the team got into a problem and, something got messed up in our Git repo, if I just go a layer deeper and I start to learn a little more, maybe one day I learn about rebase and I try it out and, had to do it just by the book that time. It took me 20 minutes to figure out how to do it. But the next time I do it, I've done it and I can do it the next time. Maybe it only takes me 2 minutes. And then I start to get more and more familiar with that concept each time. So I'm trying new things all the time and really going deeper.
Those are really cool. How about resources? Maybe someone for the people that are trying to get plugged into the developer community, look resources about OKRs or someone who thinks that they want to start something like a conference or a user group, do you have any specific resources that that you could point out to call out to people for any of those?
Certainly. So for OKRs specifically, I can highly recommend the book by John Doerr called Measure What Matters. Very good. There's also a book called Sprint, which is about the discovery process. And one that I really enjoyed called Radical Focus, which is also about OKRs. So that's for resources there for OKRs. I think those are good ones. Then for getting involved in the developer community, my biggest recommendation is just start to get to know the people who are clearly start to attend events and then notice who's involved. And you may see people frequently at events. You may see people frequently in leadership. You may see people who are speaking a lot. Start to get to know them, make friends with them, and figure out what they're doing, the places that the conferences that they're going to, and start to attend those conferences. The long game is incredibly valuable. And one of the things that has really benefited me in my career in and with developer community is cultivating those relationships over time. So I remember going to my first conference and I was so intimidated by the speakers and thinking, I could never do that. And these people are like gods. And how, could I ever get to this point? But I remember, I said, all right, I'm just going to start talking to these people and they won't remember me the next time I see them. And they might not remember me the third time that they see me. But, after enough times, they'll say, hey, it's good to see you again. And then I've made that connection to a very valuable member of the community. I think that has been very instrumental in outreach for getting speakers in for the meetup and for the conference.
Very cool. If people wanted to follow you or get in touch with you, is there a particular social media platform that you would recommend them checking out on?
Certainly. So you can find me on Twitter as @AnAccidentalDev. You can also find me on LinkedIn or you can email me if you like as well.
All right, Michael, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
That was Michael Richardson. Michael is a software developer, conference speaker, developer community organizer, and outdoor enthusiast. As a technical lead at Kroger Digital, Michael helps create compelling web experiences for millions of Kroger customers.
If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter @SixFigureDev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach your potential. I am John Callaway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.